You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, it's a Friday morning, and it's the time when we get together with our listening audience out there. Where are they?
Cyberland.
Okay, good stuff.
Probably in their office.
Yeah.
Okay, our first question comes from Michael. Yes. Bob, is Canada part of the U.S. a crazy idea or maybe not? What are your thoughts?
Actually, it's not a crazy idea because I think underneath it, Trump's bluster is his fallback position. And I think he would like to see a border, of course, between Canada and the United States, but one that's impervious to ideas, trade, everything else going back and forth. And altogether, it builds a huge economic entity with U.S. production and sophistication, and Canada's also got sophisticated production, but it also has huge natural resources, and the whole package is very impressive. So I think that's what he's working on, and I welcome the idea.
Now, a Leger poll was released on Wednesday that said 9% of Canadians were interested in joining the U.S., and 20% of Americans were interested in joining Canada.
Oh, yeah, it's a nothing issue at the moment. But, I think it's a natural, and I think it will happen. Now, the other thing that is brought up amongst free trade ideas and stuff is across our provinces, there's all kinds of trade barriers and tariffs and stuff like that. And I think this is becoming an issue to get rid of all the trade barriers from province to province to province. So let's look to the bright side.
Yeah, I'll finally be able to get Newfoundland, though. All the other provinces have agreed to take down all these barriers where Ontario wine could be sold in BC, BC wine could be sold in Ontario, and so on. Although, being a British Columbian, I always go, Ontario wine, why would I want to buy that? But, of course, I'm just joking. I'm sure they have some fine quality wines. Newfoundland's the only province that wants to protect its booze industry. But then, that means I can't get Newfie Screech at a decent price.
Yeah, Newfie Screech from the bottoms of barrels of rum, and they wash out that, and it's still pretty good booze, and that, I think, is what they call Screech. So
now, my one objection to joining the U.S. is death. Their murder rate is horrific. And all of Canada has 800 murders a year. California alone, about the same population, 2,200.
Yeah. No, yes, but no, the big issue is an economic entity. And issues such as areas where there's high incidence of crime, like Vancouver downtown, that has to be dealt as a secondary thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, our next listener question comes from Hannay. Hello, Bob. You've indicated the U.S. dollar will become chronically strong in a global bust. Does it mean it will be stronger than it is now? And will a strong dollar then keep U.S. interest rates lower than other countries?
Yeah, no, that's it's a complicated issue because there are other aspects in interest rates, like in a post-bubble contraction, or we could call it a post-bubble depression, short rates such as T-bills go down, but all other credits go up in yield. So you have that distinction. And then the other one that we've done historically on each great bubble, real long interest rates, that where you take interest rates and adjust for inflation, they go down in the bubble, and then they go up in the bust. So far, they're up about 2.5 percentage points, which is getting a little painful, but the typical increase over the full depression has been in the order of 10 percentage points. So there's a huge amount of problems ahead for us in the longer-dated interest rate market. Mm.
Next question from Hannah. How will the BRICS currency development affect the U.S. dollar long-term? That's the proposed currency by Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Right now, even though it doesn't officially exist, it's trading at $35.51 U.S.
Yeah, a BRIC is an attempt to make an alternative to the U.S. dollar. Over all the decades, many people find it offensive that the U.S. dollar would be the senior currency. But it's the market's choice. You just nothing you can do about it. So a BRIC thing is a fantasy that will not have any legs or last, because it's all driven by the fact that in the bubble, huge amounts of debt are issued, and most of the debt is underwritten and due and payable in New York. So the huge debt bubble is really a short in dollars payable in New York. So this is an explanation I've found that pretty well describes the mechanism that makes the senior currency chronically firm. Everybody owes it.
Now, the proposed BRIC would be backed 40% by gold. The other one would be a digital currency. And as we can see with Bitcoin, digital currency can change in value by thousands of dollars in a split second.
Oh, I believe that the BRIC thing is quite fanciful and has no legs. So,
Hannay goes on to say Trump wants to lower the U.S. dollar to increase exports. My question, Bob, with all the tariffs he's putting on everybody, who would want to buy U.S. products in retaliation for their products being tariffed?
Yeah, well, tariffs, I can understand what he's doing with it. He wants to reduce the cost of the federal government, and he wants to fund it not through debt, but through tariffs, taxes on things as they come in. And that is a really constructive thing, because you just can't print dollars in that circumstance. So, and you end up, now here's the, I think what his end goal is reduce the cost of the federal government. Then have the solid currency, and that nobody then can sort of print dollars. So I think they're on the right track, that you're going to end up with no income tax and monies raised for the U.S. federal government raised from the taxing things. And that is really quite healthy, because when income tax was first suggested in the early 1900s, there were writers at the time that wrote that this is immoral, highly offensive. You take the money before it's even in the hands of the rightful owner of the money. So, you know, I think it's a good step. And so the two items, a sound currency, sound government, and then opening up north-south so that you have a huge trading block here.
And our third question, will the United States government ever get control of their massive debt and not only stop at expansion but shrink it, or will it just continue to expand and accelerate until it blows up the economy? It's not looking good anymore. It seems America has passed a critical point of no return. Is it bye-bye, Miss American Pie, or is there still hope?
Yeah, no, I think in a Great Depression, the debt revulsion is that, you know, it just goes into a crash. And I'm telling you, post-bubble depression is hell on earth. And I think we're heading that way. And I've got four indicators, like real long interest rates going up, real price of copper going down, not yet, real price of gold going up, yes, and then, as I said, the senior currency being firm. So our four features are, I would say they're tracking the transition from a great boom to an equally great bust.
Wow. So I guess we'll look at ways to gird our loins, as they say.
You do your own loins.
Well, I've learned all my loins. Honestly, I've been up all night. I'm ready for the play, sir. I've learned my loins.
Yeah.
We'll take a look at some of the headloins that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline number one from CNBC. Trump says there will be flexibility on reciprocal tariffs.
Yep. That's a practical thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you think he'll judge what should be re-tariffed or boosted tariff?
Well, it's like anything else. The market will force his hand.
Now, the Wall Street Journal headline says, depressed Democrats find hope at Bernie Sanders rallies. The 1%.
Yeah, that generally the articles are that the Democrats are completely flattened as a party. They have no leader, effective leader, and they're actually, I look at it, they're living in the past of, we're going to do this for you and we're going to do that, authoritarian government, and the world is on a transition from authoritarianism to more freedom for the individual. It's a good thing.
Now, Turkey, a country rocked with riots right now because of the arrest of the mayor of Istanbul. Turkey bans short selling, eases buyback rules to bolster stocks. Is banning short selling a good idea?
No, it just shows complete misunderstanding of the financial markets, which is typical of politicians and bureaucrats.
Germany banned short selling quite some time ago.
I don't recall.
Yeah. Yes, because under Merkel, she said the idea of a stock market is to grow businesses, not try to destroy them.
No, you got to have the shorts. I mean, you know, when you get a crack in the stock market, the shorts are if a shorting is allowed, the shorts will be there to cover. So you got to bid when normal buy bids are sparse. So no, I'm all for short selling in any market.
From Bloomberg, Trump administration eyes move to privatize Fannie and Freddie Mae. They're the mortgage providers. Is that a good idea?
Oh, yeah. Why in the world are government agencies in the mortgage market? You can't explain it, except that way back then, I mean, when was it? Maybe late 60s when it was introduced. They considered it as a good idea, but not now.
And our final headline here, or it shouldn't be our final one, U.S. consumer sentiment tumbles to four-year low, fears over tariffs mount.
Yeah, that's the one you want to watch. An economic series, and it suddenly goes, oops, plunge. And that is a telltale before you actually get a GDP number or things like that, which only come out quarterly. So these monthly ones you want to watch.
Now, President Trump's primary message when in his election campaign is that he would lower consumer costs on day one. How do tariffs do that?
Well, a tariff will temporarily bump a price, and then you forget about them. Now, we might have mentioned this last week. In the normal business cycle, you get a boom and you get a severe recession. Local politicians and bureaucrats are looking at high unemployment in that country. They then turn to protectionism through tariffs. It's a natural thing in a post-bubble contraction. So that is yet ahead of us. It is, Trump is acting extraordinarily, but eventually with the recession, there's going to be protectionism anyways.
Yes, but the U.S. had the hottest economy in the world before Trump was elected. Why wouldn't he want to continue that?
Because you can't. Policymakers cannot continue a boom. Besides that, you had the big 2021, and then you had the COVID and all kinds of weird things going on. But believe me, central bankers, politicians, and other bureaucrats think that they can really manage an economy, and it is absolutely a fraudulent idea.
So every politician during an election campaign, when they say they'll bring prices down or improve your life, is lying?
No, they're just stupid. It's a party line from governments and bureaucrats and the whole apparatus of the big state.
So, in other words, because, I mean, we've seen it here in Canada. Jean Chrétien promised to get rid of the GST. It's here in my little red book. And then the first thing he said was, man, I looked at the government books, and we can't afford to get rid of the goods and services tax.
Yeah. Well, it's because they want money coming in and will dream up any story to support any kind of taxation. Now, this is coming to an end. There's a great reform started, and it's around the world. Poland and other countries are changing already, and it's changing in the U.S. with Trump and with an election in Canada and a new leader with the Conservatives. Then we'll see the reform movement extend into Canada.
From the Financial Times, Japan has not yet conquered deflation, finance minister warns.
Yeah, and that's been going on for 25 years or something like that. They've been fighting their post-bubble deflation, and it's interesting to watch. They can't do a thing about it.
Japan's biggest problem is their shrinking population. Is Japanese are not having children.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
The biggest reason is they say they can't afford them because Japan's a very expensive country to live in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I recall a recent story where a town of 5,000 people celebrated the birth of their first baby in 20 to 25 years.
Oh, my gosh. That's a charming story.
But... and alarming. And of course, Japan, unlike other countries like Canada, the U.S. and Britain that allow immigration, they're against anybody who's not Japanese moving to Japan.
Yeah.
So eventually, Nippon will just shrink away to a couple of old people, I guess. And also in Japan, an interesting stat brought by our correspondent there, James Corbett. In Japan, more adult diapers are sold than baby diapers.
Oh, yeah, incontinence or something like that, yeah.
Well, we're older, Bob. We know things don't always go as you plan.
Yeah.
Well, on that lower note, always fun chatting with you, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, I always look forward to our getting together, and we look forward to next Friday.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He welcomes your questions at info@housestreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.